every time you're about to quit and sit in front of your TV and watch the game or Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever it is you're going to do, you know, stare at porn, smoke the cigarettes, drink the alcohol, eat the food, and rub your big fat belly or whatever it is you're going to do. Every time you do that, this is the question you want to ask, because this is what I do. If I stop right now, I'm going to be doing more of the behavior that's going to take me in the direction of everything I don't want. Am I willing to do that? So the other day I posted a question on social media, and I said, give me your problems. Give me all your problems. Give me the struggles you've got. Give me everything going on in your life, and I'll solve them on the show. So that's what I'm going to do. Things are going to be radically different on this podcast, by the way. It's going to get badass, as if it wasn't already. So today I figured I'd talk about money. One of my friends, Adam, one of my close friends, he asked me a question. He says, hey, listen, how about all the money mistakes that you've made and how to solve them? And I thought, that's a valid question, man. Because money, the issue with money is that people have it burned in their mind. From a very young age, financial freedom, money, wealth are all corrupt and evil, except that's not the case. Money is neither good nor evil. It's a completely neutral thing. It has no emotion. It has no personality. It doesn't do anything. Money takes on the personality of whoever's using it. It's just simply an exchange medium. It's like anything else. It doesn't have a personality. So to say money is evil, it's not evil. Money is, the people that say that are usually the poor motherfuckers at the bottom that don't have any and they're jealous that they don't. But if you stacked a bunch of money in front of them, they would make a bunch of terrible financial decisions because they don't have the financial and emotional discipline to manage that amount of money. That's why you see most lottery winners 2.3 years later are financially broke. They get $300 million and 2.3 years later, they've got zero. They're still living in that same crappy shack or back with their mom in their basement. So you have to look at money and understand the mistakes made are usually learned from somebody else, because money allows you to do great things. It allows you to have freedom. It allows you to influence change. It allows you to have a positive impact. Bad decisions about money are caught like a disease from those around you for the most part, or allowing this thing, this cell phone, to influence you in making money decisions. There's a couple of people out there. They're like, listen, I don't care if you follow him or not, but I don't agree with anything Dave Ramsey says because I think he's full of shit. All he does is hawk his programs and tell you all about how you need to pay off all your debt, including your house. Paying off your house is the dumbest fucking thing you can ever do. I will take that to my grave, because a house, number one, is not an investment. Number two, it's not a tax write-off that's of any value. And number three, paying it off is what idiots do, because now you have a $2 million house or a $200,000 house or a $50,000 house. It doesn't matter what it is. That's not doing anything for you. And to sit there and say, well, nobody can take it away from you. Have you ever seen the power of the IRS? They'll come and take your shit regardless. And then you have to fight to get it. Even if they're wrong, they'll still take it first. And they'll charge you interest. They'll never pay interest, but they'll charge you interest. To think that paying off your house is the smart thing, is a smart financial decision. Imagine if you had a $2 million house and you wrote a check for a $2 million house. And I'm sure somebody's going to say, well, yeah, but if you have $2 million to pay for your house, then you have lots of money coming in. Listen, nobody that has a $2 million house writes a check for that house. They pay it off because they make more money on the $2 million doing work than they do having a stack of wood and drywall and stone and shingles that has no debt. To think that that's smart is part of the problem, and that's usually conditioning from adults in our past, usually. Paying off your house is the biggest mistake. There's number one. Not knowing what's going on in your life is number two. So I think some of the things people don't know, what's coming in and what's going out, they don't understand interest out versus interest in. I'll use a house as an example. If you have a house and it's 2.5% because you got in on that, doesn't matter, even if it's 6 or 7%, but you make 10% on your money, why would you pay off your house? Just do the math. If you have $100,000 and your house is $100,000 and you pay $100,000, and somebody's going to go, what about property tax and what about PMI? First of all, if you have PMI on a $100,000 house, you shouldn't have the house. That's crazy. Like all of these things, these are all massive money mistakes. I used to believe that you should pay off your house. It was the big race. My parents used to talk about it all the time. My in-laws talk about it all the time. It is the stupidest fucking thing you can do. Do not pay off your house. Use that money to make more money. Money is a unit of work. It is a tool. To sit there and think that your money is like a, you have a big safety pile of money. Like, that's another thing. People create these piles of money. It's a mistake I made. I created this big pile of money. And then when I got this big pile and I had nothing, remember, I lived in my car. Like, I know what it's like to have zero, less than zero. And I had to steal food to survive. And that puts you in a place where you become very, very desperate for money. Because money is what you think is going to give you the freedom to be able to eat. So you have to understand that tool is what would have allowed me to get food at that moment in time, and I didn't have it. But to think that paying off something or that once you have it, it's going to make you safe, neither one of those are accurate. So I created this big pile of money, and then I started to get worried that that big pile of money was going to get taken away. So I started to fall back to all the behaviors that I had prior to having the money. And I started spending more time worrying about my pile of money than going out and getting more. So one of the biggest problems is creating a stack of money and then telling yourself that that stack of money is not enough. So you have to add more to it. And then when you get to that, then you have to add more to it. And then when you get to that, you have to add. And you constantly are seeking a bigger pile of money because you're operating from a place of scarcity going, well, I just need a little more because then I'm safe. You're never going to be safe because your mind is not thinking the way you're not, your mindset is not operating the way it should. Money is a tool. Each dollar is a worker. That's the way I look at it. And each dollar is going to go out and make me more. And I send them out every day with marching orders to go make me more money, whether it's putting money back into my business, putting money into an investment. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as the dollars are doing their job, I would rather have a small savings account and a massive producing investment than the other way around. And most people have it backwards. They go, well, just once I have $100,000 saved up. That's another money mistake. To create such a massive emergency fund. To sit there and think that you need a year that you can sit on your ass and do nothing is the problem. Because then you're going to sit on your ass and you're going to do nothing. I had a client one time called me up. He got $100,000 in severance pay when he got laid off from his job. And he didn't call me until he had just under $10,000 left. He spent the last $90,000 and months and months and months trying to get his business off the ground. But the problem was he had financial security sitting there in a pile. And that pile of money was a $100,000 check that he got as his severance package. So the problem is he kept looking at that pile going, I'm going to take a little bit of money out of that. But don't worry, when my business hits, I'll put it back. He did that, and then he was at 90. And then it was, I'm going to take a little bit of money out of that, but when my business hits, I'll put it back. And then it was 80, and then 70, and then 50, and then 30, and then 20. And then he called me at 10 grand, which doesn't even cover my fee. That doesn't even cover the investment to coach with me. And he said, help. And I said, you should have taken that 100 grand and burned it. Because you'd be in the same fucking position. Because he had such, he was making lazy, his work was lazy. His ambition was massive, but it was what I call lazy ambition. All his work was done on the premise. It was predicated on the fact that he still has 100 grand in the bank. So he didn't put a lot of time. He wasn't operating from a place of starvation. He was operating from a place of abundance, but not the abundance that his business is going to grow. The abundance that it's okay if he does nothing. That's a travesty. Like, that's the biggest fucking mistake you can make, because what ends up happening is you feel safe. You should never feel safe. There's a rule when people go, how much money is enough money? I have one word, more. More. How much money should you have? More. Whatever you're at, more. And the weak say greedy. The broke say greedy. The angry, the bitter say greedy. The people at the bottom that aren't going to execute say greedy. The people at the top go, that's fucking good. How do we do it? Your idea about money is what determines how much you So to come full circle, your pile of money doesn't need to be nearly as big as you think it does. Can you cover 3 to 6 months of your life the way it is right now? Not the life that you're like, well, yeah, but by the way, I'm going to go out and buy a Lambo tomorrow. No, the life you have right now, can you cover it for 3 to 6 months? You're good. Take every dollar after that and either invest it back into your business or make it go do work for you, but do not keep putting it into the pile. It's not going to help you. Our dollar is losing value. Some of the things too. So here's another one. I wrote these all down. It's thinking that your value, your personal value, are your possessions. So you start buying more and more expensive things because people look at your expensive things and you equate their admiration of whatever the expensive thing is for their admiration and value for you. They're not. Like, this is, right? A Submariner on my wrist is about 22 grand. And people would look at the watch, go, oh, wow, you have a beautiful Rolex. It's just a fucking watch. I like Rolexes because it is an asset storage unit. Watches, cars, crypto, real estate, many, many other things. I don't look at them as anything other than an asset storage vessel. I don't look at them as anything else. Do I like the watch? Hell yeah. I love the watch. But it's not giving me value. Whether I have the watch or I don't have the watch, my conduct and my character are the same. To think that your conduct and your character are going to change based on what you drive, what you wear, what jewelry you have on is the problem. So you have to determine self-worth before you have money worth, because your cars, your house, your jewelry, your watches, all the shit that you have shouldn't change your character. If it does, you need to address your character first. That was one of the problems I ran into because I started to spend money. People started to like me more because I had more money. And then when I didn't have money, they left. And I realized it wasn't me they liked, it was the pile of cash. And I have a story about that in a second. I used to spend without a plan. So I would just spend money arbitrarily. And I would literally, like, if I had 100 grand or 200 grand or $1 million, I'd just blow the whole fucking wad. But without understanding that I'm going to get more tomorrow, I just blew it because I wanted something. So there was no plan. So when I started spending money like it was water, like we're talking water in through a sieve, man, just dumping it, I would get the toy, I would get the materialistic thing, except what I wouldn't get is anything else or any value. I would buy a car. I remember one time I bought this car. It was a Ferrari. See, it was the only Ferrari I ever paid cash for. And I was dope, man. It was a sick Ferrari. And charcoal, red leather interior. My wife and I went to Bora Bora. And we had just had our son, Pierce. And I wrote a check for this car. So almost $200,000. And I wired the money, actually, not check. So I came in, wired the money. And they were like, holy shit, I bought it from Starwood Motors. Davis Spate was the guy. You want to look all this up? You can't. Because I realize people are like, social proof, I don't believe it. Oh, fucking look it up. Davis Spate, D-A-V-I-S, Spate, Starwood Motors. Anyway, I bought this Ferrari and had it delivered. It was a fucking gangster. And we got on the plane, flew to Bora Bora. We were in this crazy, beautiful hut out in the middle of the water. See the mountain, a big giant square in the bottom of my hut, glass floor, all the fixings. It was a trick holiday with my wife. And I struggled for 8 days because every time I thought about the Ferrari, I kept thinking about taking money out of my son's life. And I kept seeing my son suffering because he couldn't eat, my wife suffering because she couldn't eat, because I was so upset with myself that I took 200 grand and I fucking blew it on a car. Now, when I got the car for about a week, oh, this car is badass. And then it went away. And it was just another shiny dick in my garage. So when I got home, I sold the car because I didn't like the feeling because of the car. Now, was that a mindset? Sure. But it wasn't making me any money. See, at the time, I wasn't an influencer. I had no online company. I was just a doctor and I had some clinics in California. So the car was just a car. It didn't have any, you know, like, oh, well, hey, you're making money off of that car. But the problem was that I was associating the money with something that could have done so much more than just buy 4 tires and an engine, a couple of seats. So I got rid of it. So that was spending without a plan. And I was chasing a feeling versus chasing something I really wanted, which brings me to the next thing. A lot of people chase someone else's goals and someone else's targets. And I've been guilty with that. Everybody's been guilty of that. They're like, oh, I really want this mansion. Why? Do you really? Or do you want it because somebody else thinks it would be cool and you think your personal worth is going to go up because you live in a house that's 25,000 square feet? I've lived in huge houses, 12,000 square foot home. I've lived in a 600 square foot home. My house that I grew up in on Emerson Avenue was like 700 square feet. Really, we were broke. Like, we had nothing. The car would never start. My parents had to turn every penny three times. We ran out of money before we ran out of month. You know, we had nothing. I got secondhand clothes. My clothes never fit. I never had enough lunch. Our food was very meager and not the same. And we heated our house with a Coleman or with a potbelly stove in the basement. And so you start to think that that's how money is. And I knew my parents had never had anything. And it was a lot of empty promises and a lot of failed deliveries when it comes to money. And I vowed that I was never going to do that to my family. And so far I've succeeded because I want my family to not worry about one thing, money. It is a terrible feeling to look at your wife and your kids and know that you can't give them the life that either A, you promised them, or B, they want. And I'm not saying, like, my wife has a giant pumpkin-sized diamond on her finger. So what? She's got a Rolex and a G-Wagon, and we, you know, we make all this money, but we didn't before. My wife's character's never changed. My character has changed. Because I want to protect her even more. I look at the financial freedom and I made sure that whether I'm here or not, my wife and kids, they're not fucked. I think that's what being a man is all about. But when you chase somebody else's targets, you jeopardize that, because I would chase other people's targets thinking that I need to have, you know, this car or this watch or this brand of clothing or these electronics or these sunglasses or this mansion or live in this neighborhood. But then I started questioning, why do I actually want it? Or is it an idea that I have that I think I'm going to do, but I never question it? See, what people do is they go through their life and they defend things all the time, but they never question why. They argue things, but they never question why. Where'd that idea come from? Where did that mindset come from? If you're not questioning why you have that mindset, there's a good chance that mindset's not yours. So chasing somebody's target, going, well, they like it, so I have to like it, is very, very expensive, both emotionally and financially. So just don't fucking do it. It goes like I said, buying popularity, I wrote, you know, and I wrote these all down for you, Adam. So there you go. Buying popularity. The more money you have, the more popular you become. But then do they really give a shit about you? They don't. I'll just save you the trouble. They don't. Just because you have a nice car or a big ring or a giant house doesn't mean you have any more value. It means they look at you and think they're going to gain some clout by hanging around with you, just so we're clear. I blew $1 million inside of 3 months when I found out that they gave me 9 months to live when I had stage 3B non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I had all kinds of friends. Everybody wanted to hang around with me till I ran out of money. And I was almost homeless. And then I sat on my floor, broke, starving, dying, angry at God, angry at my parents. And I chambered around and I wanted to end my life. And I told God, give me a fucking reason to be here. Because I thought he was winning if I died. Give me a reason to be here or I'm going to end it. 2 days later, I met my wife, Brandy. It's the best thing that's ever happened. She didn't give a shit. We spent the first 3 months, she'd pay my bills because I had nothing. I was sick, puking in a bucket. And I realized it's not the money. It's the character. The money comes afterwards. The money enhances who you are. Money exposes who you are. If you're an asshole before money, it's just going to make you more of an asshole. If you're a great person, it'll just make you an even better person. Money and stress and adversity introduce you to who the fuck you are. They do not change. When people go, money changed him. Nah, he was always like that. Just so we're clear. And if you doubt me, I don't care. I got the microphone. One of the biggest things is controlling terms of the deal. You control the terms, you control the deal. And I've made that mistake a lot. So not controlling the terms of the deal is a great way to screw yourself, because I don't care if I owe you $100 million if I control the terms. If I have this pencil in my hand, and I'm holding a pencil for all you guys listening to this, and I take this pencil and I control the terms. And the terms are, anytime I have this pencil in my right hand and I'm wearing this Rolex on my left wrist and I have a coffee specifically made from Starbucks from a certain location given to me by a certain barista, then I will make a payment on my loan. Well, I control the terms, so I don't give a shit how much I owe. If it is every month at the same time, all the time, well, we know how that works out, right? They front load the interest on your homes, by the way. The first 7 years is when the bulk of your interest is paid. Can you imagine, or can you guess the average length of time that people own their house? 7 years. Yeah. Do you ever look at your mortgage and you go, hey, it's $5,000 a month. Why is $4,800 of it going to interest? Because they're making money. You're barely paying down the debt, which stretches out your debt, makes them more money. You buy a $1 million house, you pay it off over 30 years. It comes back. People, why would you pay off your house then? Because I have things making me even more money. Look at your balance sheet. If you know what a balance sheet is, you're ahead of the game. Learn what a balance sheet is. There's another money lesson. I didn't know what a balance sheet is. It cost me a lot of money because I had no idea what the fuck was coming in and what was going out. Now I know to the penny, all five companies. I know exactly. I know what my team does. I know what my everybody does. I know where my expenses are, what's going on, what's coming in. I know every fucking, why would I not? People like, if you got to know your money, man. One of the things my parents taught me was trading time for money, thinking that has any value, and that salary is a good word. Trading time for money and getting a salary are both financial suicide. You'll never get rich. Number one is you cannot save money to get rich. You cannot save yourself into wealth. You can't. Not buying a Starbucks, like I have a Starbucks cup of coffee sitting here, right? Almost empty. It's almost time for a new one. Thinking you can save your way to being a millionaire is the dumbest idea. Make more money. It's faster. But trading time for money, you're trading something that is irreplaceable for something that is completely replaceable. And a salary, yeah, usually if you calculate the hourly amount, works out to be even less. You want to trade something called results and outcomes for money. The greater the outcome, the greater the money. The greater the result, the greater the money. The bigger the problem you solve, the more you can ask. It's that simple. There's no complexity in that. So start looking at money in terms of what problems can I solve in exchange for money, and how can I solve bigger problems in exchange for bigger money? One of the things I used to do is do all the work instead of delegating, thinking I'm saving money. Fuck, was that stupid? I used to carry the cross in every area of my life, and I'd micromanage the shit out of it, and I still do. If you asked my wife, she would tell you, oh yeah. Yep, Spartan micromanages the hell out of everything. I do, absolutely. And I know it, and I'm significantly better than I used to be. But thinking that I'm going to save money, it happened to me with a Facebook ad. So I accidentally hired my entire tech team. By the way, if you ever need a tech team, I have the best tech team in the world. I kid you not. They are so badass. And I spent 5 years vetting these guys. I've been burned and ripped off by so many IT tech guys that have just promised me the world, delivered squat, and charged me far too much to do it. And I have a tech team now. This guy said to me, one-stop shop. I found him by accident. Fiverr, I think. And it was one of those, hey, do you want to talk outside of Fiverr? And I was like, that's a big golden rule. Don't do that. Fucking violate that. I'm going to get fucked. Some prince in Nigeria is going to ask me for $5 million and magically take all my money, right? Like that kind of bullshit. And so I was like, all right, fine. So we got to talking on WhatsApp. By the way, if you don't have WhatsApp, get WhatsApp. And I spent 3 days at my kitchen table trying to connect a Facebook pixel to my ClickFunnel. Just couldn't get it to work. And I know some of you guys listening are like, dude, it's fucking easy. Yeah, well, I couldn't get it to work. And I sat there for 3 days, literally banging my head against the table. Every time I tried, I'd get an error, a fail, a this, a that, whatever notification it would give me. And my wife goes, dude, would you just call Comer? Why don't you get him to do it? I'm like, no, I'm going to learn how to do this myself. Problem with micromanaging. I don't need to know how to do everything. I know how to lead people. That's what I'm getting at. I know how to lead people to do everything to make the dream come true. That's what I'm good at. That's what a leader does. CEOs are good at their job when they get everybody else to do all the work better than they can. That's a good CEO. That's what I've become. It took me a lot of years and a ton of mistakes and copious amounts of money to do. But I sat there at the table and I finally went, fine, fuck it. And I sent Comber a message. I go, hey, listen, can you connect this damn pixel? Because I cannot get this to work. I kid you not, 30 seconds. Sends me a message. Okay, I got it. Done, brother. You're good. That was the day I hired him permanently. I said, you want a job full-time with me? He goes, yep. One-stop shop. He'll make funnels. He'll do websites. He'll do literally anything. He'll connect. He will troubleshoot. He is so good at what he does, and so good that I not only hired him, but I built an entire team of 11 that all work for me, because my tech team is the biggest part of my business. You know why? Because the world, I'm holding up my phone again for everybody annoying, is online if you're not ready for the pay your phone. But I delegate everything now. So here's the secret. Stop thinking you're going to save money by doing all the work yourself. Find somebody that does it better than you. Pay them for it. If you're like, well, I'm not in a position. Well, get to that position as fast as fucking possible. You are in a world of diminishing returns. The more you put time into things that don't make you money, and if you can come up with some convoluted logic that says, oh, this, but it saves me money in the long run. Cutting my lawn is better if I have my kids do it or my gardener. Why? Because the hour, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours it takes, I can make money. I can do things that are better serving for my family than cutting the lawn. It's not people that sit there and go, what, are you above those tasks? Fuck no. I have no problem getting dirty and gritty. I grew up on a farm. What I do know is that if I can have a better use of my time, I'm going to. My life has a plan, and we'll come to that in a second, because if you don't have a plan for your life, you're screwed. I mean, right down to the most finite detail. But you are in a world of diminishing returns if you're constantly doing all the heavy lifting yourself. Delegate as fast as possible. Your goal is to concentrate on the 5% that only you can do and nobody else. So for me, podcasts, actual one-on-one coaching, putting me on a stage, doing content with this face and this energy and these words from me. Everything else, I'm out. So growing after and not before is one. There's another mistake. When you hire for growth, or when you don't hire for growth, you hire after growth. That's a company mistake in the biggest way. When you start going, okay, I'll hire somebody when I need it, it's too late. When you go, okay, I'm going to grow my sales team once sales reach a certain amount. If that is at capacity, you're busting at the seams. There are bungee cords holding your fucking business together. You should have hired before. It's going to be very hard. Grow and create a vacuum. Create a vacuum in your business and fill it with customers. So you grow before. Put all the pieces in place of what you want that company to look like, what you want that business to look like, and then start filling the space. It's the only time I'll ever say you want white space, because then you get to work filling it. One of the things about a business is not having a management team. So you radically decrease your value of your company for an exit if you don't have a management team. If you don't have a management team, think about this. The entire company rests on your shoulders. I see all these guys, they have their, it is like, and there's some coaches out there, that's all they do. It's all based on them. The problem is, if they're gone, they're fucked. If they're gone, they're fucked. My company is called the Spartan Army. Not Trevor Bachmeier's Spartan Army. Not, you know what, the Spartan. I happen to be the Spartan, but my company is the Spartan Army. My company is the Inner Circle. My company is the Wolf Pack. My company is Body Hacks. My company is Smashworks. None of them are Trevor, because if Trevor's gone, the company still keeps going. So you have to understand, you might love your name and want to just put it all over the place. That's fine. Make sure your company can run without you physically being there. And that means hiring a management team and putting them in place and teaching them every fucking thing to do, because you will 10x the value of your exit if you have a management team. Because when somebody comes in and looks at your business and goes, all right, let's determine the valuation for the size of the check we're going to give you. If they look at you and go, oh, wait, you don't have a management team, so you have to be here all the time. The problem is they're not hiring the company, they're hiring you. So if you have a management team in place and it runs all the time and you have all these pieces moving, this intricate machine that's performing, whether you're there or not, it still has value. And now you can 5, 10, 12X your return when you have an exit. Not having an exit strategy, by the way, is also a problem. I'm going to do this forever. No, you're not. I'm gonna have this company for generations. You might. You still want an exit, even if it's to your kids. Listen to what I said. You want an exit. That's literally the high speed track to massive wealth is having an exit. People wait for the right time. Stop waiting for the right time. It's a scarcity mindset, because it'll never be the right time. That cost me a lot. I would wait. Okay, once I have this, then I'll do it. Once I have this, then I'll do it. Once I have this, then I'll do it. The problem with that is that do you honestly, listen, here's the question you want to ask yourself every day when you're about to do something and you're like, I'm just going to wait a little bit. Ask yourself right now, is today the best day I'm going to have in my life, or can tomorrow be better? Is today the last day I'm going to make money? is today the amount of money that I made, the only amount I'm ever going to make, and I'm not going to make any more starting tomorrow. Because that's what people do. Listen, if you are waiting, listen to me. If you are waiting to make a financial decision and you have it, but you're waiting until you have a little more, or you don't have it, but you can borrow it, so you're waiting until you have a little more. If you are waiting until you have a little more, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough because you're never going to feel safe enough to squeeze the trigger, because that safety point is exactly what's holding you back, because that safety point keeps moving. So you need to just commit and fucking do it. My dad used to say shit or get off the pot. Just do it. See, waiting for the right time, there's never going to be a right time. There's never going to be a better time. There's never going to be a safer time. There's never going to be the right amount of money, time, and energy that you require to execute on what it is you want to do, because it's always going to feel uncomfortable. The reason for that is it's doing something outside of what you're doing right now. What you're trying to relieve is the pressure of changing the level of output that is required to reach the targets that you've set. So what people do in situations like that instead is they drag it out. I want to see how this works first. I just started this program. I'm just going to dip my pussy ass little fucking toe in the water. I'm going to just keep going a little bit more just to see how this turns out. I want to save a little more. I want to have a little more time. I want to this, that, and the other. What they're doing is dragging out that feeling of that perception of safety in their current circumstances while still lying to themselves, saying they're going to do it eventually, but they never do. So they're trying to make themselves feel safe. You're never safe. So what ends up happening is this costs you everything. Because you end up looking at what you're doing and validating why you have to wait a little bit more, and you never squeeze the trigger. It's always going to be uncomfortable. So squeeze the fucking trigger. Just spend it. You should be willing to zero out your bank account, zero out your calendar, zero out your energy. If you're willing to do that, you're going to succeed. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to fucking lose. I don't care what you say. You're going to lose. Call me in 10 years. I guarantee you I will have more money than you. Paying cash. That goes back to something I said. Not looking at interest in versus interest out. If this costs me 5% interest to make a payment on, but I'm making 20% interest on that same amount of money, I'd be a fool to pay cash. I'll pay the 5% and I'll make 15%. And somebody's going to go, well, yeah, but you'd make, listen, if you're going to argue about how, but you'd make 20% if you paid cash for it and then you'd recover that amount, I promise you, you make $32,000 a year. You have no valid opinion about money. I made $1.2 million last year, or last month. 1 month, $1.2 million. We're going to do more this month, and we're going to do more next month. I work to outdo the day before, the week before, the month before, personally, because I always want to move up, not down. Because I always expect tomorrow to produce even more. And that's the issue. If you think today's the best it's going to be, you're fucked. Don't pay cash for anything. Unless, like, I have a buddy of mine, he pays cash for cars. It's $4-5 million for cars, no problem, like this. And he makes a shit ton of money. It works because he makes all that money back. And then some, because he's gaining attention. It's the smartest thing you can do in that position. If you're not in that position, don't do that. So you have to look at your circumstances. Raising prices. There's another one. Raising prices. People don't raise their prices in their business because they're trying to compete with the bottom. They're too fucking cheap. Listen, if you sell a $49.99 program and all you're doing is having a bunch of bottom feeders come up and the low-hanging fruit and they're all arguing, listen, a $49 program, if it is something, let's use a fitness program, for example, is always my favorite, because a fitness program, $49, they'll get on the phone and they'll talk to you for 3 hours asking what they're going to get and grill you that they're going to have direct access to you every day, all day, 24/7, 365, and they can get on a Zoom call with you whenever they want for $50. Fuck you. You heard me. My time is worth more than that. I am trading something that is irreplaceable for something that is replaceable. Your $50 ain't worth enough. And people take offense to that unless their time is valuable. I almost died 2.5 years ago. My time is incredibly valuable. You're going to pay for it. And if you're not willing to pay for it, you're not my people. That's okay. That's okay. I know how valuable my time is, and I know how valuable my information is. Because the proof is in the results that I've achieved, and I've achieved them and I've shown everybody from start to finish. Nobody has ever run it up like me from a wheelchair, missing a lung, coming back from cancer at 48 years old, broke and physically fucked and mentally screwed and weak and financially destroyed and physically just trashed and come back to the level that I'm at and documented every second of it. I've never missed. I'm never going to miss because I'm not the same person that came out of that hospital as the guy that went in. And one of those things is my time is valuable. It's more valuable than your money. So if you want some of my time, it's going to cost a lot of your money because my results are that good. So be that way. If you're not willing to raise your prices, you're going to argue with yourself and you're going to wonder why you're chasing everything around at the bottom. Because what people tend to do in business is they go, what's everybody else charging for this for a similar service or product? And then they go, what is that service or product? And then they try and elevate that service or product just a little bit. And they decrease the price in comparison to everybody else just a little bit. That's a race to the bottom. You're not raising your prices. You're dropping your prices, but you're giving more. So eventually you get to a point where you are making no money, but you're giving everything and you don't have the money to fulfill it. So you're fucked and everybody leaves anyway. Raise your prices. I wrote down here, believing that today is the best it's going to get, you're doubting tomorrow. That's one of the biggest money mistakes I've ever made. Don't do that. Be confident in the fact that tomorrow you're going to make even more money. This is one I wrote, believing you're entitled to a day off. Are you shitting me? Are you kidding me? Well, I wish I had a 4-day work week. It would be better. I can't wait for Friday. People spend 5 out of 7 days waiting for 2. And then on that last day, that 7th day, they dread the one that's about to come the next day. Right now, somebody's going to go to bed and not wake up tomorrow. The fuck's wrong with you? Respect your time. Do the work. So here's how you want to, check your life. People will either change their behavior or they're going to change their targets. And most of the time, God, some of you guys are so weak. You change your targets. You drop your targets, even though it's what you want. I know a guy right now. He changed all his targets and then shit talks everybody with these high level targets. Calls them materialistic. They're the same motherfucking targets you wanted. All of a sudden, your life goes into the shitter and you trash talk everybody with the same targets you had. You reduced your targets so you can keep your weak ass behavior. So think about that. Yeah, he's a coach. He sucks. So here's what you want to do. Are you where you want to be? Are you where you want to be in your life? That's it. That's the question you ask. Are you exactly where you want to be? If you could hit a switch and make your life look exactly how you want it, the fitness, the house, the cars, the bank account, the business, the life, the mindset, the clothes, the jewelry, the body, like literally the kids, every single damn thing that you want in your life that makes it, that is that pure blue sky, perfect world that you want. By the way, that's under your control. Nobody else's. Stop blaming other people. It's a bitch move, man. Complaining to all your friends and then never doing a thing about it. That's weak. That's so weak. If your life doesn't look the way you want it to look, you ain't earned a day off. You haven't earned that day off. Well, I'm going to burn out. I don't have burnout because every time somebody asks me that, well, what about burnout? What if you're just tired of doing it? That's a mindset thing. That's a mindset thing. Because think about this. Every time you're about to quit and sit in front of your TV and watch the game or Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever it is you're going to do, you know, stare at porn, smoke the cigarettes, drink the alcohol, eat the food, and rub your big fat belly or whatever it is you're going to do that is not the work required to get you to where you want to go. Every time you do that, this is the question you want to ask, because this is what I do. If I stop right now, I'm going to be doing more of the behavior that's going to take me in the direction of everything I don't want. Am I willing to do that? And the answer is no. So that's the question you ask yourself. So thinking you're entitled to a day off, that's expensive. That's a money mistake. Not investing. Holy shit. Well, I don't know how to invest. DCA, dollar cost averaging. It's the best thing you can do. It's the easiest way to do it. If you want to know how to do dollar cost averaging, it's easy. Let's say $100 is what you're going to spend every day and you take a percentage. That's what you're going to invest every day. I'll give you a quick crash course on it. You look at what you're going to, let's go to a month. This is what you're going to invest in a month. Break it down into 30 days. How much are you going to invest every day? Because you're investing every day. Make it automated. Don't even fuck with it. Because if you go, I'm going to wait until I have 10 grand, you're not going to do it. Just start. Because you want to have some fun, drive yourself nuts, make your fucking brain go nuts. Go back 20 years and type in how much you were going to invest today and do that daily up until today. And then look at that number, stare at it, burn it into your skull, write it on your fucking mirror with your wife's lipstick. because it's going to piss you off that you didn't do it sooner. Time is your friend with investing, just so we're clear. Oh, time is your friend. Why are you not putting money away for your kids? Oh, they're going to suffer just like I did. What the fuck's wrong with you, man? Your job as a parent is to give them a leg up from where you were so they don't have to go through all the shit that you did. It doesn't mean you don't educate your kids. It means that you give them a leg up so they have a better start than you so they can go further. Be a good parent. You're not paying back your kids for the life you had. Grow up. Investing. So if it's $100 every day, you allocate a percentage to each investment. So let's say it's 40-40, 40%, 40%, and then 5-5-5-5, 5% times 4. So out of $100, that would be $40, $40 to each investment. You could use anything, crypto. Let's say it's $40 to Bitcoin, $40 to Ethereum, and then $5 to four other cryptos every day that comes out of your account. So you're putting $100 in. You can't time the market. You can't. You have guys that they have AI and a team of 1,000 people that are calculating and staring at the market while you sit in front of your MacBook trying to time the market. You ain't going to win. Okay. You're not going to win. So don't bother. Dollar cost averaging is the easiest, most effective way to do it. My opinion, if you have a better way to do it, knock yourself out. I do it. It's made me tens of millions, just so we're clear. So invest. Okay. Not thinking about an exit is another money mistake. You're playing the game of finances and playing the game of money today. You're not playing it 20 years from now. So understand that your money decisions yesterday are the ones that are creating today. And the money decisions you make today are the ones that are making things happen tomorrow. But you guys are looking at today going, what can I buy today? Not how's it going to affect tomorrow. What I do is I look at our money and I go, when I do this today, it creates this. What is this going to do? And how is this going to grow and better our life to get to our end goal? Because we have an end goal. Our end goal is a financial number. It's $1 billion. My financial goal is $1 billion. $1 billion. And when I hit that, I already know how I'm going to hit it. I know where it is. I know how much it's going to be. I know what's required. I know by when. I know everything about it working all the way backwards because I deconstructed the entire plan. It's not one of these fictitious mindsets. If you want to learn how to do something and you don't know how to do it at all, what is it you even want to learn how to do? See, a lot of you guys go, I don't know. I just want to be a millionaire. Do you want one? Do you want 100? Do you want 500 million? What the fuck do you want? So you guys have all these ideas about what you want to do, but I'm going to get after it. How are you getting after it? And how are you earning more money when you don't even know how much money you want? You can't hit anything if you don't have a fucking idea where you're going to get off the road. It's like getting in your car and arbitrary driving going, I don't know. I'm going to go to this town. What town? I don't know. Whatever town I hit. And then you're pissed off at the town you land in. You didn't know where you were going. You need to have a plan. How much? This is just a purely money talk. Before somebody's like, well, money isn't everything. Fuck, give me a break. Money gives you the freedom to do all the things you want to do and give you financial security and allow you to protect and serve your family and do a ton of good and influence change and just be a better fucking person because you can go out and help more people. Stop thinking that money is evil. If you think money is the devil and money is evil, somewhere in the world, somebody made that statement that having a lot of money is the devil and being poor is righteous. Stupidest thing in the world, man. Then why is it that the people that are doing the devil's work have all the money and the people that are doing God's work don't have enough money to spread the word? You ever think of that? You want to be rich. Be rich. Be rich as fuck. Take whatever number you have and times it by 10 and then make a plan to get there. Make a plan to get there and it doesn't involve trading time for money. That's the biggest thing. Not having a plan. Have a plan. Have a money plan. Right down to the penny. Believing my parents was a huge money mistake. Their habits, their mindset, and their daily activities. I told you my parents were terrible with money. They made very little money. They traded time for money. They worked all the time. They sat around and drank wine and watched television. My dad yelled at hockey games. And I love my parents. My dad passed away, but I love my mom. I love my dad. And they gave me some incredibly great work habits and work ethic, but they were terrible with money. If you look at your parents and your parents don't have the life that you want, it doesn't mean you don't love them because you don't want to have the life they had. It means that you want to do better. So look at the life you want, not the life you think you're capable of. Because whatever you're capable of is whatever you want. So if you go, I'm only capable of this, then that's all you want. So I don't believe my parents. Bad coaching is a terrible waste of money. Biggest money mistake I've ever made. Bad coaching and not sitting down and actually talking to the coach, or talking to the coach and believing that this guy is going to get me to wherever I want to go. I've had two killer coaches. I mean, holy shit, these coaches are gangster. And then I became a gangster coach because of that. Because I've had a ton of bad coaches. You got to. And people go, oh, I've always had perfect coaches. No, you haven't. Having a bad coach is so expensive because a coach's job is to time collapse. A coach's job is to give you all the insight to make faster decisions to get to where you want to go quicker. Not drag it out because they're cheap and slow and they discredit you, or they have dated information. Or the worst one is this. They're not living the life that you want. Just stop for a second. Listen, if you have a coach and they aren't a billionaire and you want to be a billionaire, they can't coach you to get there. If you have a coach that's not a millionaire and you want to be a millionaire, they can't coach you to get there. If you have a coach that's obese and you want to be fit, they can't coach you to get there. If you have a coach that has no marriage and they fucking blew their marriage up, and they're trying to tell you how to have a great relationship, they can't coach you to be there. You can't coach what you don't have. You can't. I have no business coaching anybody to get to billions. I don't, because I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. When I hit it, I'll let you know. I can coach you to millions and millions and tens of millions all day long. But I have no idea how to do it to billions because I've never done it. When people go, do more of what you're doing, wrong. There's a tipping point. Because making $1 million is an incredibly massive amount of work. Making $2 million, fucking easy. Everybody hears that disagrees, hasn't made $1 million yet. Everyone that's made over $1 million just went like this. Oh yeah, you're right. The second million, the fifth million, the 10th million, the 20th million, way fucking easier. But you got to make that first one because it changes who you are as a person and you understand how money works. But hire the right coach to do it. Like my coaching program, I will go from $0 to $1 million in 1 year. That's my goal for everybody that joins in the business side. Whether you do it or not is up to you. And yeah, that puts the responsibility on you. What guarantee do I have is what somebody asked me. I said, look in the fucking mirror. Here's how I know. I've done it multiple times with multiple people. You can talk to anyone. I had a guy that made $200,000 in 53 days. Message him anytime you want. I have a guy $395,000 in a weekend. I also have a guy that hasn't made $3,000 in the first 3 months. Doesn't matter. Are you listening? Are you executing? Are you doing what's required of you? Those are the things that matter. So that's where coaching comes in, right? Sales skills cost me a lot of money. Biggest money mistake, not learning how to sell. Just so we're clear, you're always selling or you're always being sold. Grant Cardone said it the best. Sell or be sold. And if you don't think so, sit down with a 7-year-old and have a conversation. They're selling you nonstop. You have to understand communication. So when I say sales skills, understand what active listening is, understand what emotional connection is, and then listen to what the customer or what the person is saying. That goes with your wife. It goes with your kids. Are you listening to what they're saying, or are you excited to hear what you have to say next? That costs you money. Because your sales skills allow you to help somebody get into something they want and need and help them understand, versus you shoving something down their throat because they came in for a truck and you sold them a Porsche, a 911. That's you. That's not being a good salesman. That's being a bully. That only works for a while. Sales skills. And I wrote this here, your emergency fund is too big. One of the biggest things was not violating Parkinson's law. So what people tend to do, and I did this, I was very guilty of this. I would earn more money, I'd buy more things. I'd earn more money, I'd buy more things. I'd earn more money, I'd buy more things. I kept doing it. Well, I kept going, why can't I save any money? And there are people out there that make $200,000 a month and they spend $205,000. Because you have to violate Parkinson's law. Parkinson's law is expenses rise to meet income. So there was a time in your life when you made $2,000 a month. And if you're like, well, fuck, I wish I made that. Well, then you need to join my program. You need to make more money. But there was a time when you made $2,000 a month and you had no problem getting your life. You would go out to dinner, you'd hang out with your friends, you'd do all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden you make $10,000 a month and you can barely pay your bills and you are two paychecks away from bankruptcy every single month. The reason is because you haven't violated Parkinson's law. You let Parkinson's law take over you. So understand, it goes back to understand money in, money out, and always looking at your month and going, next month needs to be even more. Not expenses, revenue. And then revenue turns into profits. Remember, revenue drives egos, profits drives Lamborghinis. It's understand, if you make $1 million a month, but your expenses are $990,000, you're just making 10 grand. I made almost 100 grand times 20 after 12. I made almost 100 grand this morning already. Because I understand what profits are. You have to know what your money is and you have to look at what you want. And then you have to understand that if you aren't violating Parkinson's law, you're never going to be rich. The last one is thinking money is finite. I mean, I could do this. I have so many money mistakes. We could do this all day. Taking long terms for cars, all that kind of stuff. And none of that matters. But thinking money is finite. Time is finite. Money is infinite. There is something like, I don't know how many trillions of dollars sloshing around in the US economy. Stick out a bucket, get some. Money, the minute you understand that money is infinite and you really grasp it, the minute you shake out all the bullshit that some coach, some parent, some friend, some feed on Instagram has told you about money, and you actually understand that it is an endless supply and that your output determines how much you get, that was probably the most profound money mindset change for me, is when I went, thank you for all of this money. And I started looking at money as something that there is an infinite supply. If I want more, making money is very easy. Making time is impossible. So when someone says, oh, I'll make time, you cannot. It's easy. I said this in a coach call and on Saturday in my SpartanX call. I said, listen, here's how you do. You look at your time and you look at your money and you think right now money has more value than time, which is ridiculous. And I want you to look at your minutes throughout your day and look at where you spend them. And I'll leave you with this. Look at where you spend your minutes. Look at where you spend all your minutes and take every one of those minutes and turn them into $100 bills. Just imagine that for a minute. Every time you spend a minute, it's $100. But that $100 is coming out of a bank account that has a finite supply. It's not never ending. And think of where you are handing out those $100 bills. You're going to be much more attentive to where you give those $100 bills out. See, you treat minutes as if they're just like, so? Except when you're 75 and there's a whole bunch of things that you wish you would have done at 45, you can't get that back. You can't hit a button and go out and earn more time. You can't deposit more minutes in that time bank account. So the biggest money mistake I made was burning the clock, thinking I have time and that money was finite. And time is just time. Doesn't matter. Wrong. Regardless of time being a purely human construct, it doesn't matter. It is still finite, whatever you want to label it as. You can't get more. You can get more money, whether you are 50 or 20 or 80. So take every minute of your day and change every minute to a $100 bill and look at where they go and look at how much of that you've spent every day. And then ask yourself, did I get a valid return on that? Because if the answer is no, change where you're spending your time. That's the biggest lesson I have about money mistakes. But thinking that time and money are backwards. You can have as much money as you want, baby. All right, I got to go. I'm at time to work out. I love you guys. Thanks for being here.